Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis. Enjoying the music and enjoying the show as well. What you're listening to tonight is a remote viewing experiment that myself and Lori have put together. I've been talking about it for a long, long time, and Lori has agreed along the way, we'll do it, we'll do it, we'll do it. Well, you know, I'm doing it on my Blue Rock Talk YouTube channel. So it's Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis. You know, please go and subscribe. And, you know, we're going to do that kind of on a regular kind of basis. We haven't decided the time of it yet, but we got to open it here tonight on Coast to Coast and launch it. You know, it's, so that's kind of cool and fun, and I really appreciate that. And we've been having a good time, and I gave her three targets. She did the first one with Sasquatch, and then the second one with the pineal gland. And the third one, we haven't revealed it yet, and she doesn't know it either. So when we come back, we're going to hear that and going to give her the answer and you guys the answer. And we will be taking your phone calls after that. So stay with us here at Coast to Coast AM. We are back at Coast to Coast AM. Hi, everybody. I'm Connie Willis. Been a great evening. Very interesting. The remote viewing experiment. On my YouTube channel, it'll be Blue Rock Talk Bafflers. I love that name. Anyway, it's Lori Williams, remote viewing instructor and a professional remote viewer. And she's taken on three targets. The first one, Sasquatch. The second one, pineal gland. And the third one, she doesn't know what it is yet. So Lori, we stopped right on. Right on the money with, you know, this cliffhanger, right? So if you want to pull us back up to par, then what I'll do is I'll give the reveal. And then from there, I'll probably want you to kind of go over it again so you can go over it knowing what it is as well as our listeners knowing as well and hearing you kind of repeat it again, okay?
How it might or might not relate to what
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So essentially we're looking at a mountainous area with an underground tunnel system that appears to be for experimentation, really scientific and state-of-the-art, somewhat very mysterious and complex and complicated and very well-guarded. And I felt like, so it, overall, it's a target involving a location that contains an underground element that's hidden and top secret and involves experimentation that has to do with climate and the future of the planet and mankind. The area is very mountainous. So at this point, getting into the mountainous part, I realized it's very mysterious. And at this point, I became aware of these little man-made objects that were coming and going as I was kind of standing back looking at these mountains ahead of me, you know, and like almost like I was floating above them. And these man-mades that were going back and forth or these little vessels, experimental vessels involved coming and going in the mountains, lots of snow, cold, wet, nighttime, dark, under the cover of night, run by top scientists, used for security, preserving. I felt like the purpose was like preservation, future, food, seeds, etc., you know, preparations. And so I sketched, did a crazy fast sketch just showing these mountains and these vessels coming and going and underneath these tunnels that were kind of in a spoke-like way connecting to a central hub. And I felt that there was, this involved a collaboration, almost like an interstellar, intergalactic collaboration, that there might be there's a possibility that this involves some interstellar, intergalactic beings that are cooperating with humans in whatever they're doing there. I felt like it was for study, research, protection, preservation, very sci-fi, very futuristic. And it's, at least it seemed very futuristic to me. I felt that the people there are very dedicated and working in a team. Again, it seems very mysterious. I moved back to the head biological person and was asking, is this good or bad for mankind? And I got that it really just depends on your perspective and which side of the argument you're on, if it is an argument. And at this point, I felt very uncomfortable, but I felt like there might be experimentation on human subjects. Experimentation on plants, experimentation on seeds, and an attempt for preservation of the planet, trying to make sure that seeds will stay, you know, will stay viable and be protected in case something were to happen. And I felt that maybe this was even a preparation for some possible, not certain, but possible eventual survival situation or a post-apocalyptic scenario. Now, I don't want to turn into Mrs. Doom, you know, the wife of Dr. Doom, I don't want to
There's some
become
doom
known
and
for
gloom.
this decision, but I felt like this location is some kind of a think tank. It's very high tech, and that it might be being assisted by a higher intelligence. And then I got like the term big money, but I felt like it wasn't really money, but it was more about power, because money sometimes even seems to be an illusion, you know, something that's just kind of used right now, but that I don't anticipate money being used forever, that I think the whole financial system of using money will eventually collapse. And that's just my own opinion. That has nothing to do with the target. But it, so I sensed that it wasn't really about money, but it was more about power. And right now, money kind of equals power if you have a lot. I felt that there were a lot of aspects regarding power and the concept of science, experimentation, preservation, protection. And then I wonder, what are they protecting? And it seemed like they're protecting the status quo. They're protecting power. And that it's not necessarily good for mankind overall. So then Jim asked me to move to what they're protecting from. Why do they need to protect this? What could come towards them that they would need to be protected from? And I felt like it was a threat to the power, any threat to the status quo, uprising. And then I heard this term, awakening of the slaves. And I thought, ooh, that was kind of weird. That was kind of out of left field, awakening of the slaves. So Jim asked me to move to the awakening of the slaves, and I got that the awakening of the slaves would be radical, courageous, heart-led, spiritual, down-to-earth, unafraid, and pure. That these are the qualities that would be something that they would find threatening. And then I heard that Bible verse that says, the meek shall inherit the earth. And it reminded me, for some reason, of Carl Sagan's Little Blue Ball. I don't know if you've ever seen the Little Blue Ball thing that Carl Sagan did, where he shows the planet, and then it kind of pulls back, and the planet keeps getting smaller and smaller, and you see all the other planets, and then finally it turns into this tiny, tiny dot, you know, in the mass of the cosmos, and disappears. And he's saying, you know, whatever you think is so important, just remember we're living on a tiny blue dot in the cosmos, you know, and you're mm-hmm. a tiny speck on that tiny blue dot. So it's important to keep a perspective. And, I just got this whole sense that we are eternal. And so if people tend to get frightened by this sort of thing, you know, that just to keep in mind that we're on this tiny blue dot, but that we are eternal beings connected consciously to each other and to everything that is. Well, then I was asked to move to any actions that we can take for self-preservation, and I really came up with, I didn't know. I didn't get anything when I moved to that. So then I was asked, what do the powers that be fear most? And I came up with unity, solidarity, rational thinking, fearlessness, and then what do, quote, unquote, they fear most? Heart-led people, those who will not be silenced, and that just to know that changes are coming. And I felt like it just somehow this whole target just kind of led me to think changes are coming and that all good things come to he who waits, that we need to embrace each day, and that the greatest power is in love, and that their greatest power is in creating fear. So I really felt that the idea of creating fear in people is a really way to control the masses. And so by being fearless, by being courageous, by embracing every day, that was probably our best defense right there. And that was the end. That was it.
Wow. Isn't it funny that even all the different targets, they kind of still relate in some way? You know, you said certain things that I could say, the pineal gland again, and even when you go back to fear, talking about the Sasquatch and, you know, how they could just go away when they felt the fear. They just poof off to somewhere else where we can't do that. Okay, well, are you ready for the target?
I am. Do we have a drum roll?
Yeah, well, we can fake one. Ready?
Okay.
Everybody else out there, please. And if, you know, we can make a heck of a sounding one, couldn't we, if everybody did it? And then after I tell you, please go over the summary again so that everybody can kind of pull that together. So what I was looking for was Mount Shasta and what's under it.
Oh, very interesting. So what's under Mount Shasta? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't
So
know anything
what's,
about Mount Shasta.
yeah, and I've heard a lot of stories. I've heard people say that, you know, there's a lot of Bigfoot activity. There's a lot of people I know that live in that area, and they talk about paranormal type events, a lot of Bigfoot stuff, a lot of other things they say. You know, they would say good and bad, you know, like, kind of sinistery. I remember somebody telling me that they saw military units out there working with the Bigfoot, and the Bigfoot actually were driving the Jeep. With military jeeps, they were actually driving.
That's very interesting.
Pretty interesting. So, knowing Mount Shasta, and a lot of people wondering what's going on under there. There's something going on under Mount Shasta. There's a lot of, you know, people that will say different things about it. So, if you can now kind of review once again, and you know, if we have the time, we'll definitely take questions from people. But I just want you to go over the summary again, so people now can go Mount Shasta and hear again what you said.
Okay, so I did come up with a mountainous area right away.
Yes,
and,
you did.
You know, rocky inclined land was the very first thing I got, describing the mountain. Then Jim asked me to go underneath, and I found a system of tunnels that were in a spoke-like configuration leading to a central hub. And the purpose of what was going on in these tunnels seemed to be experimentation, very scientific, very high-tech, state-of-the-art. I felt that the whoever's controlling this is probably very powerful, and there's a team there. It's very regimented, disciplined. Anybody who is there was scouted out to be there, very chosen, very carefully. I see that there's at some point there's people walking in unison, of kind of a military feel to things, very deep underground. And I did have a sense that there were vessels coming and going within the mountains.
And what did they look like?
I kept writing down Swiss Alps over to the side, setting aside Swiss Alps. So I'm glad it wasn't.
Oh, right, right.
But
well, what did the vessels? Did you get a shape of the vessels?
The things that I drew were kind of dark and oval shaped. But I was just kind of doing a really fast sketch, so I didn't really look at the vessels. I just saw little dark shapes kind of coming and going. So I didn't move to those vessels and describe them in detail at all. But I did notice that there were things coming and going, and I did feel that there was a collaboration, some kind of collaboration between humans and some other beings. And I wrote down that it might be even an intergalactic collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
I did feel that there was a head person who was an older person with gray hair, Caucasian.
You believe that was a human?
Yes, and that was a human. I felt that there was some experimentation going on, some which might even be cold calculating, all in today's work. And I felt that there was some experimentation going on a being done on that, some kind of an animal or being.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah, that would be really sad. I did feel also that this was everything that was going on here is just part of a much bigger picture that we're not aware of. So if there really is this kind of activity going on at Mount Shasta, under Mount Shasta, that it's very much a small part of a much bigger operation that's happening, and that this area under Mount Shasta then was constructed for special use, very secretive, polished. Only a very select are allowed to be there, the cream of the crop. And the goal is so far out there, whatever they're doing, that it was hard to even comprehend. That there's experimentation, exploitation. I did feel, too, that the people who are there have made this their life mission. It's all important, all consuming, worth giving their lives for, and involves the future in some way. There's to gain power, to retain power, to maintain the status quo, and then also to preserve things, to preserve seeds and life, and to be prepared in some way in case there is some sort of apocalyptic event in the future. So I wrote a quick interim summary that just says, the target involves a location that contains an underground element that is hidden and top secret, and which involves experimentation that has to do with the climate and the future of the planet and mankind, and that the area is very mountainous. So this, again, if we're talking about Mount Shasta, at that point is where I saw little things coming and going, like a fleet of some sort coming and going, experimental vessels being involved, that it was cold, wet, nighttime, dark, Under the Cover of Night, run by top scientists, used for security, for preservation, future food seeds, and preparation. And then that it seemed very futuristic to me. And I felt uncomfortable at one point while viewing this, and felt that this was all being in preparation for some possible post-apocalyptic scenario. I felt like it's a think tank, very high tech, assisted by higher intelligence, that it's really about power, that the whole thing is about power, the concepts of power, and the concepts of science, experimentation, preservation, protection, and that they are protecting the status quo and power, and that it might not necessarily be good for mankind overall, and that they were trying to protect from any threat to power, any threat to the status quo, and that the awakening of the slaves is something they were concerned about. And this came to me just like this really strange sentence out of the blue, this awakening of the slaves. I found it really disturbing, but when I moved to what did that mean, it came up with radical, courageous, heart-led, spiritual, down-to-earth, unafraid, and pure. And then the saying, the meek shall inherit the earth. Carl Sagan's, if you ever go on YouTube and you type in Carl Sagan, little blue ball, you'll pull up this video that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then again, move to any actions that we can take for self-preservation. And I really got that unity, solidarity, rational thinking, and fearlessness were our greatest defenses. That they fear heart-led people the most, those who will not be silenced, and just that I think all good things come to he who waits, and that we just need to embrace each day. Okay, and that the greatest power is in love. So that's my synopsis of the whole thing.
Wow. So, you know, I know in remote viewing you are to give the information and that's it. You know, you're not supposed to theorize or, you know,
analyze or try to interpret it.
Exactly. But come on, what do you think? What do you think? Now, you know, we're doing an esoteric target, right? So what do you think about that, knowing it's under Mount Shasta?
It's really fascinating. I don't know anything about Mount Shasta, but I
do
think
now.
It would be fascinating. I think I do remember seeing a video a long time ago where a guy who lives on Mount Shasta was talking about seeing a lot of alien vessels or something there. And he you know, they have stargazers that go out and they watch him come and go from Mount Shasta. So that makes sense. But I had no idea that it was Mount Shasta. That never even occurred to me. But so I wouldn't be surprised. I would imagine that throughout the world there's a lot of underground places. And this is just, you know, just assumptions on my part. But that wouldn't surprise me at all if there was some kind of underground system going on and that it was... in fact, in the sketch that I did, I had shafts going down the mountain, you know, like inside the mountains, going down to this underground section. There were shafts in the mountains that were vertical shafts that I guess you would have to take an elevator down to get to the tunnel system.
Very interesting. And you know, people that are working on things that are top secret, they are, you know... They used to be at least 20 years advanced to what we would ever see now. I've heard it's about 10 years because things are going so quickly. So a lot of that can be just, you know, man-type things. But you also said that there were things that were not human from what you believed that you experienced in your viewing. So that's pretty crazy. And whatever they're working on, that poor little thing was sad.
Yes.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
I didn't like that at all. I didn't know. That was at a point where I really felt like very uncomfortable and wanted to stop viewing at that point. But I did feel like I wanted to get to the heart of it and to be able to, you know, really find out what this was. So I had to kind of move on from that and look at other things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder, you know, if it's a meteorite hitting or a nuclear bomb going off or aliens coming to take over, you know? Or the second coming, or the first coming, whatever your religious belief is. But wow, pretty cool. So that was Mount Shasta and what's under it. That was number three. So when we come back, we'll take your calls for the remainder of the show. You're listening to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis. Thanks for being with us. It's the most listened to overnight radio program in North America. It's Coast to Coast AM. That's what you're listening to tonight. I'm Connie Willis, talking to Lori Williams and finding out some really cool stuff, right? We're going to be taking your questions here coming up in just a few seconds. Just a reminder, George Knapp will be back tomorrow night here on Coast to Coast AM, and then George Norrie is going to be back on Monday night. Whenever you want to know who's coming up and what's next on the show, go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. You're listening to Coast AM. Connie Willis here, along with Lori Williams, professional remote viewer, also a remote viewing instructor. She's been doing a fantastic job. We have kicked off something that I'll be doing on my YouTube channel called Blue Rock Talk Bafflers. We got to do it here on Coast. I'm very happy and proud to be able to do that. Lori, you've done a fantastic job, as usual. I knew you would not disappoint. Thank you so much for all the work that you've done, even in such a busy schedule that you have.
Oh, thank you. Gosh, yeah, we just, I really enjoy working with you, Connie, and I enjoy Coast to Coast. I'm going to have to become an insider.
Well, yes, absolutely. You're not already?
No, I'm not. I'm going to have to do that. I don't get time to watch TV or movies or listen to the radio, but I'd really like to do that, especially now that they have an app.
And well, exactly. And now that you've been on here a couple times too, right? You got to hear yourself.
Yeah.
You got to go back and listen to what you said.
Because <Yeah, really.
laughs> we might have cut it off, and you never know. We might have had to hit the button, delay button. You never know. okay, so Sasquatch, pineal gland, and Mount Shasta is what she viewed. Let's go and take some phone calls here real quick, see if we can catch some before you have to go here. So let's go to first-time caller Clarence out of Alaska. Hello, welcome to Coast, Clarence, and thank you for giving us a call for the first time.
Yeah, I apologize for the speakerphone, Connie Willis and Laurie. I have a observation, and I'll get offline. First of all, since King Solomon, every gold belt across the globe has had a couple things in common. You've heard of colloidal silver. It fights off disease. Okay, there's a thing called Ormus gold, and there's also a thing called Sasquatch that is a common denominator. Now, the Ormus gold is found in the root mass, and I believe, my personal belief, that we're talking about the Nephilim mentioned in Genesis 6:3. They have degenerated but survived by not colloidal silver, but Ormus gold. But anyways, you can Google it. And other than that, thank you for taking my call, and thank you, Connie Willis, and good night.
thank you, Clarence. We appreciate that. Call from Alaska. So what do you think about that? I know this is your first real Bigfoot kind of thing, but what did you think about what he said?
Well, it sounds really interesting. I'd like to check into it. My ex-husband was really into the Nephilim, and I have heard quite a few people who have interest in the Nephilim. And as a former missionary myself, and understanding and knowing the Bible quite well, I think it's a really interesting thing. I've never heard of Ormus gold, so I'll have to check into that.
Well, that was why I had the question for you with the Sasquatch, of if it had any thing to do with the Bible.
Okay.
And remember, you got an answer. You asked that. What was your answer to that?
Well, I actually just heard, it was like there was this very profound silence, almost like they couldn't relate to the Bible. So I couldn't, and since I was connecting with them for my answers, there was no answer on that one.
Just complete silence. And not because of holding a secret, but more of, huh? What?
Yeah, like, what's the Bible? What are you talking about?
Interesting. So, and again, 87% accuracy rate. So let's go ahead and go to west of the Rockies, Sharon out of Roseville, California. Hey there, Sharon. Welcome to Coast. Would you have something to say to Lori?
Yes, I do. Hi, Connie.
Hi.
Thank you very much for answering my call. And I actually did want to answer your question about the Bible. But also, I had a question for Lori about medical uses for what she does. I had a vision many years ago after converting to Mormonism, and the vision actually was of a being that looked like the shape of a human, but like 7 feet tall as Bigfoot, and with standing and telecommunicating with Bigfoot. And the Bigfoot was wearing a black vest, and they were inside a spaceship. So, the meek and the Bible they're referring to is open-minded. Back then, the word meek meant open-mindedness. And I was wondering if Lori does any of this remote viewing for healing purposes, because, like, I have an enlarged spleen. I have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I've had it for 16 years, and I would sure love a cure.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, I can imagine. Well, actually, tell me your name again.
Sharon.
Sharon? Well, Sharon, I am going to write your name down. We have a team of people that have taken these courses in the healing work that we do. And what we do is we work with you on a subconscious level, and you know, subconscious means you're not aware of it, and we can work on trying to help in some of these ways and just see if we can work with you on a subconscious level to help you heal yourself. And so
that would be awesome, because I have done everything I can, and they tell me there is no cure. They don't have a cure for me.
Okay, I'm writing it down. Hodgkin's lymphoma and enlarged spleen, right?
Enlarged spleen, yes.
Okay, I have it written down, and I will share that with our team.
Okay, and what about the... Okay, so am I talking to Lori now or Connie?
You're with
both
of us.
Yeah, you got us both. Yeah,
okay, because I wasn't sure who was giving me this information, if it was Connie or if it was Lori.
Nope. So she's got you on the prayer list of the
remote
viewers.
Yeah, I've got
viewers.
You on the healing list for our team of remote viewers who use this technique that Connie mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and that's a great thing. There's been a lot of people that have been on that. Lynn, of course, Buchanan himself has been on that and still is. And it's a wonderful thing, because really talented people are on there saying prayers. And she was talking about the meek as well with what you had mentioned when
right.
you were talking about Mount Shasta. So that
you
was
might remember, Connie, that in March of 2014, I got bucked off a horse and damaged my spleen, my heart, punctured a lung, broke a bunch of ribs and a neck bone and a shoulder bone, and had to be transferred to a different hospital because the one hospital couldn't handle all the traumas. And everybody worked on me, and with like 6 weeks later, I was literally teaching in Long Island, you know, perfectly well.
I do remember.
Yeah.
I do remember that. That was crazy for you,
yeah.
but it works. It definitely does. So let's go to Culver City, California, wild card line number one. Jeff, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Yeah, hi, Connie and Mrs. Williams. Yes, this remote viewing craft is absolutely astounding and astonishing, mainly because this particular activity within the paranormal realm is actually done in real time. You know, to be able to see and even interact with individuals hundreds or even thousands of miles away in the present in real time is truly amazing indeed. But my question is this, Mrs. Williams, do you think or believe that people gifted with remote viewing attributes are somehow being guided or assisted with modern-day technology, such as satellites and GPS coordinates, you know, working in conjunction with the subconscious and or meditative state of mind? And if this is happening, you know, if this is going on, do you believe that the remote viewer could actually manipulate and alter this ability for his own, for his or her own purposes, you know, and benefit? And I'll take yourself there.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
So as far as GPS coordinates, one of the things I can tell you is that remote viewers, for example, we have a team that working with an archaeologist able to give exact GPS coordinates for the archaeologist to locate these artifacts that the viewers had described, and the viewers were able to give the GPS coordinates. They weren't working in conjunction with electronic GPS. They simply pinpointed a spot on a map, and then using Google Earth, they were able to give the GPS coordinates. So that part, as far as working in conjunction with electronics and things, some people find that electronics actually kind of interfere with whatever the process is. And other people, like Lynn Buchanan, he enjoys working with his computer. He's able to do all kinds of things.
He does.
Remote viewing with his computer. I find that the electronics kind of interfere sometimes with my connection or whatever you want to call it. So I'm not sure I answered your question. Part of it, I was having a hard time hearing. So you might have to, if I didn't answer it correctly, you might have to repeat.
Yeah, and what I gathered from it too, Jeff, is that, it's the subconscious and the conscious talking to each other. It's right, inside yourself. It's all within. So you don't really need to go outside to get any answers. If I heard his question correctly, and
right.
Yeah, and
you
old
are
fame,
the instrument, Jeff. You are the instrument.
You're the instrument, exactly. And it just brought to mind Lynn Buchanan knocking out all the computers. I mean, he could just tear things up with his mind. He's amazing, amazing, amazing person. I'm not. You know what? Let's see if we can't take another phone call here, just time wise. Wild card line number 4, Charleston. A Texan.
Hey
there, Charles. How are you?
Hey there, Connie. Hey, Connie. It's so good to hear you this weekend. But, I have been reading Lori's essays on her on the website and everything else, and I'm always kind of impressed with the way that she's able to communicate so many important things. I mean, if this remote viewing stuff does gives you that kind of insight, that's just something I should definitely get into more. I kind of shied away from it because it always seemed a little bit too, scientific sort of scientific in a way. I mean, they always seem to be too military, I think.
I was the first civilian. That was certified to teach, and I have never been in the military, and I'm a woman, so you'll be safe with me, sweetie.
Well, okay. Well, I want to get to the more important point here is that I was listening to what you said about I'd rather call it Target 3, because I'm not sure if it really was Mount Shasta, although that was certainly, of course that was the target officially, but it seemed like, what you said about the unity and fearlessness, and being hard-led, and also about so much about money as it being about power, because there's a certain level of, I think, there is a certain, when you get to the point where basically money is your own invention, I mean, it's beyond, you don't measure your money in numbers, you don't measure it in...
Charles, not to cut you off, but I need you to get to the question just for time reasons.
Okay, all right. The comment is, me and my dad used to do, we had a kind of a mission in the world, and we would kind of use our heart power to kind of bring some peace and prevent bad things from happening. My dad, I've been told assassinated, but I wondered if your group ever does, if you have groups that will ever do like remote viewing to find out exactly what did happen, and or if you like ever work for like lawyers or anything like that.
Okay, thank you, Charles, for that. If you can just answer that really quickly, Laura, then we'll go on.
If you just go to the website, Charles, there is a little section that says services. You can read all about what we do, and looking at events is one of those things that we can do.
And I think that is a fantastic question. He is going to get the answer he's been looking for by contacting you. In fact, Lori, I do want to say thank you. And is there anything else that you want to say before we go and to let him know and everybody else know where to contact you?
Yeah, you can contact me at Lori@intuitivespecialist.com. That's in specialist with an S at the end. So that's intuitivespecialist.com. my website is intuitivespecialist.com, and you can see a calendar of classes and all the things that we offer, services and classes and things, and I'd love to hear from you. If you have generic questions, you can write info@intuitivespecialist.com, and my assistant, Moselle, will be happy to get back to you with a lot of great information. Thanks so much for the opportunity to be on Coast to Coast, Connie. I really appreciate it, and thanks to all the listeners out there as well.
You did a great job. It was Sasquatch, pineal gland, and Mount Shasta, what's under it, and you did a fantastic job with it. The other two that I had, save them. We'll do those on Blue Rock Talk, or maybe we'll do something again on Coast. I know this has been well received, and it always is. How can you not enjoy something like this? So Lori teaches a lot of classes, and you can go see her. She can come see you, or you can go online. Is that correct?
That's right. That's great.
All right. But I'm telling you, she knows her stuff. She's a lot of fun. So, Lori, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And she did it another 4 hours long, you know, and she and I both could continue talking even longer. That's just the way it is. So thank you again for your time, Lori. I really appreciate it. It was kind for you to do that for us. And by the way, you listeners out there, too, thank you for tuning in with me tonight. I appreciate that. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as me. And if you did enjoy the show, please write it down. Write to Coast to Coast AM. Let us know. It's always good to hear the nice things and the good things. Again, it was a remote viewing experiment that we did. Sasquatch was the first one, pineal gland and Mount Shasta, what was under it, was the third one. This will all be on, you will see her work posted on coasttocoastam.com once we get that sometime tomorrow, and then we'll get it to the webmasters. Okay, everybody? So from the 840 WHAS studios of iHeartMedia in Louisville, Kentucky, many thanks going out to Josh Everett, Greg Bishop, Bill May, Kirk Wesley, Tim Banal, Lex Lonehood, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Dan Galante, Donna Walker, thank you, Tommy Danheiser, Sean LaDucer, Nathan Staten, working the board, Lisa Lyon, George Knapp, and George Norrie. You can find me on my YouTube channel, Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis. But until then, and also I'll be here June 3rd, but until then, when we meet again, keep watching the night skies and continue with me to seek out the strange and uncover the unknown. For Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis.